Ainam namas krecha naram cheva narottamam devim saraswatim vyasam tato jayam udirayat. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 21, Chapter entitled The Conversation Between Manu and Karadama, Text Number 6. Maitreya Uvacha,
Maitreya Uvacha,
Prajasri Jeti Bhagavan,
Prajasri Jeti Bhagavan,
Kadamo Brahmanodita, Saraswatyam tapatepe,
Saraswatyam tapatepe,
Sahasranam samadasha,
Sahasranam samadasha,
Prajasri jeti bhagavan,
Prajasri jeti bhagavan,
Kadamo brahmanodita,
Kadamo brahmanodita,
Saraswatyam tapastepe,
Saraswatyam tapastepe,
Sahasranam samadasha, Prajasri jeti bhagavan,
Prajasri jeti bhagavan,
Kadamo brahmanodita, Saraswatyam tapastepe,
Saraswatyam tapastepe,
Sahasranam samadasha,
Sahasranam samadasha.
Maitreya Uvacha. The great sage Maitreya said, Praja, children, Srija, beget, iti, thus, Bhagavan, the worshipful, Karadama, Kadamamuni, Brahma, Brahmana, my Lord Brahma,
Udita,
commanded, Saraswatyam, on the bank of the river Saraswati, Tapa, penance, Tepe, practice,
Sahasranam,
of thousands.
Sama,
ears.
Dasha,
ten.
Ten.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The great sage Maitreya replied, commanded by Lord Brahma to beget children in the worlds, the worshipful Kadama Muni practiced penance on the bank of the river Saraswati for a period of 10,000 years. Translation responsibly. The great sage Maitreya replied.
The great sage Maitreya replied.
Commanded by Lord Brahma.
Commanded by Lord Brahma.
To beget children in the worlds.
To beget children in the worlds.
The worshipful Kadama Muni.
The worshipful Kadama Muni.
Practice penance on the bank of the river Saraswati.
Practice penance on the bank of the river Saraswati.
For a period of 10,000 years. It is understood herein that Kadama Muni meditated in yoga for 10,000 years before attaining perfection. Similarly, we have information that Valmiki Muni also practiced yoga meditation for 60,000 years before attaining perfection. Therefore, yoga practice can be successfully performed by persons who have a very long duration of life, such as 100,000 years. In that way, it is possible to have perfection in yoga. Otherwise, there is no possibility of attaining the real perfection in yoga. Following the regulations, controlling the senses, and practicing the different sitting postures are merely the preliminary practices. We do not know how people can be captivated by the bogus yoga system in which It is stated that simply by meditating 15 minutes daily, one can attain the perfection of becoming one with God. This age, Kali Yuga, is the age of bluffing and quarrel. Actually, there is no possibility of attaining yoga perfection by such paltry proposals. The Vedic literature, for emphasis, clearly states three times that in this age of Kali, Kalo Nastyeva, 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 there is no other alternative, no other alternative, no other alternative than Hari Nama, chanting the holy name of the Lord. Omagyan, Timbadam Dasya, Gilanjana, Shalakaya, Chakshun, Militam Jena, Tasmai Shri, Gurave Namaha, Sri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam, Stapitam Yena Bhutale, Swayam Rupa Kadamayam, Dati Swabhadantikam, Pancha Kalpat Rubyascha, Kripa Sindubi Evacha, Petitanam Pavanebio, Vaishnavebio Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Srinivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So here, Kardama has been instructed by Brahma. Brahma is the first person in this universe. So he has a duty to perform. All of us are given services by our guru, by the senior Vaishnavas. That was Prabhupada's system. Prabhupada's system, when Prabhupada was on the planet, was that you follow his representative. You could not directly meet Prabhupada regularly. In the early days of ISKCON, 68, or maybe up to 69, around about that time, then there was direct contact with Prabhupada, because there was only 100 devotees in the entire movement. Even 1970, 71, the early days when Prabhupada first took devotees to India, the devotees say they could just walk into Prabhupada's room at practically any time. One of Prabhupada's female disciples, I can't remember which one it was, but she was saying on one of the memories videos that she had memorized the entire Ishopanishad. So she wanted to show Prabhupada. She walked in. Prabhupada was just sitting in his room in the morning, and she just walked into his room and said, "Prabhupada, I've learned the entire Ishopanishad. Prabhupada's very good." So then she chanted the entire Ishopanishad, and Prabhupada said, "Very good." And then that night they had a pandal program, and then Prabhupada, in front of thousands of people there, and Prabhupada said, "Stand up," and said, "Chant the Ishopanishad." So then she chanted by memory the whole Ishopanishad in front of thousands of people. So Prabhupada was showing, "Look, my Western disciples, they know more than you Indian people. Now, you do not memorize the entire Ishopanishad, but they know it." So there was regular contact with Prabhupada in the early days. But then as time went by, you couldn't get to Prabhupada as easily. Prabhupada became quite exclusive in the sense that not anyone could just walk into his room. So then he set up the system that we follow his representatives. He said that you follow the temple president, you follow the GBC. And then in due course of time, now in ISKCON, we have a spiritual authority system. We have two authority systems in ISKCON. We have the spiritual authority system, which means the gurus, and then you have the managerial authority system. And we have to learn to follow both peacefully or cooperatively. And that can be challenging sometimes, because sometimes the spiritual authority will be giving one indication and the material authority, or not the, but the managerial authority, will give another indication. So these things have to be reconciled very carefully. But Prabhupada's basic system was that you had to follow authority. That is the basis of spiritual life. Krishna says in the Gita, if you want to acquire spiritual knowledge, tadvidi pranipatina, it's practically the most famous verse in the Bhagavad Gita, you have to follow authority. That's Krishna's system. And that system is eternal. That system is always in existence. Evam parampara praptam imam rajashi yovidu. Krishna says, that is the system. Now, unfortunately, because it's Kali Yuga, and what does Prabhupada say about Kali Yuga in this purport? Kali Yuga is bluffing in quarrel. So everyone wants to bluff. That's the nature of Kali Yuga, cheating. Bluffing and quarrel. So even in spiritual institutions like our institution, ISKCON, then we have break-off groups, and we have the Ritvik break-off group, which is it's not a small thing, it's a huge thing. In India, it's a massive break-off. There's like thousands of members. We have thousands of members, they have also. It's a significant, and they're doing significant preaching work. So there is sometimes within the institution there is a split. Now, what is the basis of that split? If you analyze the Ritvik philosophy, which I think everyone knows what it is, right? Do I have to explain what the Ritvik philosophy is? You all know what a Ritvik is. Yeah. So this Ritvik philosophy, what is the basis of it? People do not want to follow a living authority. That's the basis. Because when you follow a living authority, you have to do as you're told. Hands up if you like doing as you're told. Yeah, it's going to be very hard to run the temple, isn't it? But isn't that's actually a fact. And even Prabhupada himself, Srila Prabhupada said, I have to tell you what to do because I am your guru. But he said, actually, I understand you do not like being told. So Prabhupada, words to this effect, he said, I have to be very careful. Prabhupada maybe didn't even say everything you need to say, because he said sometimes the word is they didn't like it. So that's the nature. We don't like authority. But the whole basis of making advancement in spiritual life is you have to accept authority. That was Prabhupada's system. One time a devotee came to Prabhupada, and they said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I can work with you, but I cannot work with him. One of Prabhupada's temple presidents or GBCs or something. And Prabhupada said, love me, love my dog. If you're going to follow me, you have to follow my representative, because it's my representative. That was Prabhupada's system. The system when Prabhupada was on the planet was that we had to follow his representative. It wasn't that everyone went straight to Prabhupada every time they wanted direction. Prabhupada set up a system like that. And he expected all of us to follow that system. And the basis of the Ritvik philosophy is I don't want to follow a living authority. Very convenient, I'll go to Prabhupada. Prabhupada's not here anymore. So basically you can do, to a degree, what you like. And then you don't have to be answerable to someone. Even in their system, there's a hierarchy structure, there's an authority, but then it breaks down the living guru, and that's not the system. If that was the system, Prabhupada would have clearly defined that system when he was on the planet. But he was asked on numerous occasions what would happen after he left the planet. Many times he was asked. It wasn't like Prabhupada, no one ever asked him. There's an interview with Prabhupada in Iraq, I think it is, or Iran. Did he go to Iran? Yeah, so he goes to Iran. And the reporter says, what happens when you leave? The conversation's there. Multiple times he was asked the question. And Prabhupada said, they will become. He said, all of my followers will become gurus. He said that. He said, all of my followers will become. They will become the gurus. He says it. So at that point, Prabhupada could have said, well, actually, it stops here. I am the last representative. And there will be a Ritvik situation. And then everyone will come to me. If that was the case, why didn't it happen before Prabhupada? Why didn't Lord Chaitanya say that? Lord said, well, I'm God, so it stops here. And that's the thing with the Ritvik philosophy. They say, well, now I'm Prabhupada's disciple. But why just Prabhupada? Why not choose Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur? Why not choose Lord Chaitanya? You go to Mayapur for the Gaur Purnim festival and you go up to some devotee and say, who are you initiated by? And he says, Lord Chaitanya. Whose disciple are you? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Well, why stop there? Why not say Krishna? Whose disciple are you? Sri Krishna Chandra Bhagwan. He is my guru. Why stop there? Why not go to Lord Ramachandra? Take initiation on Ram Navami, that's on Friday. Do a jagga for yourself and take initiation with Lord Rama. Why not do that? So it's not the system. Because Krishna had a system. And what is the system? The system is that there is a parampara, and that does not stop. It didn't stop. Prabhupada said it must continue. That's the system. Now, why is it that we don't like it? Because we don't like authority. That's the crux of the matter. Why did we leave the spiritual world initially or originally? Why aren't we with Krishna right now? Because we don't like authority. Because who's in charge in the spiritual world? Right? Ultimately, it's Krishna. He's in charge. He's the central, pivotal personality in the spiritual world. And because we had a problem with that, we left the spiritual world. And that's why we're here now. So it's the same point. What is the very first verse of the Bhagavatam saying? The Bhagavatam is for those who are near Matsara. No? Near Matsara means? Matsara. Matsa. Matsa means envious. So the spiritual world is for those who are near Matsara, who do not have envy in the consciousness. We have envy in our heart, and that is what keeps us away from Krishna. And that's why it's difficult for us to follow authority. But unless you follow authority, you can't make advancement in spiritual life. And there are many authorities. Prabhupada is not the only authority. Your guru is not the only. You see, Kanishtha Adhikari, he can just follow the guru. And you see sometimes I was saying this last night in the Bhaktivedanta class for the devotees. Sometimes you see when the guru has come, I see it in this temple even. Sometimes the guru has come and all the god brothers and god sisters start fighting. What is that? Is that guru seva? I will do the service for the guru. No, I will do the service. No, I will do the service. And they actually have. It becomes, and then people stop talking to each other. You know, the guru is there, but there's this whole like thing going on, you know, behind the guru. What is that? It's not the spirit. Do you think you'll get back into the spiritual world? What is the mood in the spiritual world? Prabhupada says the mood in the spiritual world, everyone pushes Radharani towards Krishna. So in the spiritual world, you know, you'll be there and you know your god brother will be next to you, your god sister, and you'll be there. No, I'm giving the garland to Krishna. No, I am. Pick your own flowers. No. Can you imagine that? In the spiritual world? And Krishna's there, and Krishna's looking, he's saying, okay, back to the material world. Now. And suddenly you're covered by the material energy once again. Krishna says in the Gita, once you go back, you never come back again. But Revati Nandan, Prabhu, he asked Prabhupada, can you come back again? Prabhupada said, hypothetically, it is possible. It is possible. You could come back again. Generally, you don't because Krishna will not allow you to do it again. But if you go to the street, you can do it again. You become envious once again, you can fall back. Sometime in eternity, you can change your consciousness once again. So we don't like authority. But the position of every living entity in the material world, what is your constitutional position? Your servant. But how does Lord Chaitanya define your constitutional position? What sort of a servant are you? Gopi bhatu pada kamalayo. Dasa dasa anudasa. You're not the servant of Krishna. You are the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. That is your constitutional position. So if you don't learn that here in Crossways, right, then you won't learn it in the spiritual world. You need to be able to develop that consciousness here right now in ISKCON, now. You can't wait to get to the spiritual world and then start developing that consciousness. You have to become the servant of the servant. It means unenvious. Servant of the guru's representative. Service of all the Vaishnavas. You know, we say this every class. Every class we say, I am the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna's devotees. But we don't practice it. We're very selective. We select, oh, I'll serve that devotee and that devotee and that devotee and that devotee, but I won't serve this devotee. And that's actually how we are. So you can't go back to the spiritual world when you have this abhiman, which means a conception, a mental conception. Until you have the seva abhiman, which means the conception, I am the servant of Krishna and all of Krishna's devotees, you can't go back to the spiritual world. So this is the system. There is authority. So what does Brahma say to Kardama? Right? I'm giving you seva now. What is your seva? What is the service which Brahma is giving to Kardama? Populate the universe. Right? The whole universe now has to be populated. That is your seva. These personalities are extremely exalted. And any service which is given to you by your guru or by your authority, you have to do that with your utmost ability. Any service that is given to you, take it, that is coming from Krishna directly. My spiritual master told me, right, he said, any service which is given to you by your authorities here in this temple, take that as coming from me. Right? And if it's coming from the guru, means it's coming from Krishna. So when you get a service given to you by your authority, not just by your spiritual master who you see once a year or twice a year, but by your spiritual authority, that is coming from Krishna. And it's your responsibility to do it the best of your ability. You can't do it in a haphazard way. That is not seva. What is the definition of seva actually? The definition of seva is attention to detail. When you do the seva, just like you see, like the I don't know who's done, but Prabhupada's cup. Right? So the Mataji, every morning, she puts Prabhupada's cup there. But what's on top of Prabhupada's cup? Flower petals. And what's around the base? Flower petals, right? So I saw the other day, I don't know who did, but the other day, when I see last week, it's like all the flower petals were arranged. So it must have taken 10 minutes or something. Devotees up nicely. And then offered it to Prabhupada. That's attention to detail. That's what gets you back to the spiritual world. You could just bring the cup in. That's nice. You brought the cup in. One time, Prabhupada said to one of his disciples, give me a glass of water. And devotee brought a cup of milk. Yeah, you probably heard the story. And Prabhupada said, I did not ask for milk. I asked for water. But devotee thought, oh, milk is better than water. Milk is liquid religion. And you know, as young devotees, we do all sorts of stupid things. But Prabhupada said, I asked for water. So you have to give the guru what he wants. You have to understand the heart of the guru. What is a first-class disciple? A first-class disciple understands the heart and mind of the guru. What does the guru want? So Prabhupada wants water. Right? So that's why we have the cup of water there. Right? The lid is there. There needs to be a lid to stop the bacteria forming. Right? And then, you don't have to do it, but then you can decorate beautiful flowers around there. And then what Prabhupada will notice that. Attention to detail. And that's what takes you back to the spiritual world. When you do your service to the best of your ability, not half-hearted. Everyone in the spiritual world is like that. That's why it's considered to be a festival. It's a Mahotsav. You know, on Janmashtami, when we start decorating everything. In the spiritual world, they decorate everything every half an hour. Right? Krishna has breakfast. It's a festival. You know, everything's decorated. There's flower garlands hanging everywhere. Right? There's silk cloths hanging everywhere. Right? It says there's tapestries on the walls. They've done rangoli all over the floor. This is just for breakfast. This is Krishna's breakfast. It's a Mahotsav. Right? When Krishna walks in, everyone's playing musical instruments. Right? There's beautiful incense. Agarbatti. Right? It's been placed in strategic places around the everything. There's chamaras hanging, blowing softly in the wind. Right? This is attention to detail. When Krishna leaves every morning to go out with the cows, the whole village follows him. And Nandagram, Krishna's village, it's surrounded by a huge wall. It's like a fortress. Big, huge wall. And there's a big moat as well. There's a big, huge wall. And when Krishna goes through like the main gate to leave, everyone starts, the soldiers on top, Nanda Maharaja's guards, they all blow horns. As Krishna goes out. Right? So it's like a whole festival. That's just Krishna going out. He's just walking through the gate. Everyone's there and there's like a huge festival. That's the spirit. And there's attention to detail, every single detail. So that is the definition of seva. Seva means attention to detail. If you don't learn that, you can't go back to the spiritual world. You have to put your heart and soul in every service that you do. So you have to take it to a higher level. You can always improve in your bhakti. If you think now I've got to the best I can do, then yeah, you'll never improve. Actually, when they study companies, the people who advise companies, like corporations, how to improve, the best companies always rate themselves when they're given a survey, how good are you in your performance? They always give themselves like a 6 or a 7 or something like that. The companies who think they're really good, they give themselves 9s and 10s. They're not as good. Because the ones who think they can improve much more, They're actually much better in their service because they're very careful. They're always thinking, how can I do better? How can I serve Krishna better? How can I serve Guru better? That is the mood of the devotee. So Kardama is given a great responsibility, populate the universe, right? So when you have to populate the universe, what is required? Preparation of consciousness. Right? If you have one child, you have to prepare your consciousness. What do we call that? Garbhadhan samskara. Right? That's just bringing one child. Imagine if you have to populate the universe. Right? So you have to prepare your consciousness. So what does it say that he does in the verse? Right? He goes to the bank of the Saraswati for how long? 10,000 years. So what does that show? He's quite serious about his service. Right? Lord Brahma says, I want you to populate the universe. So what does he do? 10,000 years, I'll get myself ready. That's serious. Could you do anything for 10,000 years? Could you do anything for 10 years? Could you do anything for 10 minutes? Right? These days people can't do something for 10 seconds. I heard the other day, there's something on the internet. They said, what's the average like attention span of a person these days is something like 6 or 7 seconds. Like in advertising, if they can't capture you in 6 or 7 seconds, you're gone. You'll just go to the next thing. People got about 6 or 7 seconds. What is it? What do you want to show me? What is it? Like that. That's what people are like these days. They can't, so you know, you tell any of these people these days, okay, you have to do austerity for 10,000 years. Right? Or you're going to have to do austerity. Okay, you're going to have a baby as a grihastha, you're going to have a child, you have to do austerity for 1 year. That's all in the Mahabharata, it's mentioned like that. The princesses in the Pandava dynasty, before they conceived the child, they would do austerity for a year to prepare themselves in consciousness. What were they rejecting? What were they doing to their abhiman or their mental conception? They were taking out the spirit of being the enjoyer. We're doing this as a seva because we have to bring a godly soul, a rajashi, into the womb who will then rule the citizens. It's a great responsibility. They took it seriously. That's why Kshatriyas are high level people. That's why you can't put the sutras in control because they don't have that sense control. Kshatriyas are very sense controlled. They're very passionate, but they're also very disciplined. And what to speak of the brahmanas? The brahmanas are even more disciplined. That's why Kardama is being asked to do this. So then Prabhupada says in the purport, what is the system for purification? He followed the yoga process. This is Satya Yuga. So what do they do in Satya Yuga? What is the Yuga Dharma? Meditation. Or we call it yoga. So what does the word yoga mean? Yoga. In this context, it means Ashtanga Yoga. There's an eightfold process. Right? And it's mentioned that you have to follow. These days, as Prabhupada says, he says in the purport, 15 minutes daily and you can become God. You know, maybe in the 70s when Prabhupada was around, someone was advertising like that. Prabhupada must have heard about it. 15 minutes daily meditation, you can realize you're God. Right? Okay, that's, you know, that is illusory. You know, we do 2 hours a day. And we can't even understand we're the servant of God. You know, 2 hours a day and we still can't get it in our head that we're Krishna's servant. We still think we're the enjoyer. 2 hours of japa and you still think you're the enjoyer. So how are you going to do 15 minutes to understand you're God? It's not possible. So it describes that he had to do for 10,000 years. What did he do for 10,000 years? So he followed the Ashtanga process. Yama niyama. These days people think yoga just means asana. And maybe pranayama. To a degree. They think that's yoga. But what about yama and niyama? No one in the yoga schools, I mean they do, they mention it, but it's not emphasized greatly. First, even before you start the asana, you have to do yama and niyama. What does that mean? Yeah, it means you have to accept certain things and reject other things. What is one of the niyamas? One of the niyamas is celibacy. You don't hear the yoga schools practicing that. You can come to our classes, but you have to be celibate. The Albert Park Yoga School. Okay? Come to our class. They get like, there's a school down here. They get about 80 people per class. Just just in Victoria Avenue, just over there. But imagine they told everyone, okay, you can come to the classes, you have to be celibate first. Right? How many people will they get? You know, a couple of Hare Krishnas with a bad back. What is it? Where is the teacher? So people cannot do. But there is a system, right? It's called purification, right? Things you have to accept, things you have to reject. That is the definition of tapasya. The definition of tapasya means you have to reject things you don't ordinarily like to reject. And you have to accept things you may not like to accept. That's tapasya. Tapo divyam, right? Who says? Rishabdev in Canto 5, right? He says that you must practice divya tapasya, spiritual tapasya. What is spiritual tapasya? Spiritual tapasya means your activity, your mind, your body, and your words are to be used in the service of Guru and Krishna. That is spiritual tapasya. So why do we practice celibacy? Because it is an offering to Guru and Krishna. That is why we do it. And you can't maintain it unless it becomes an offering to Guru and Krishna. It's not possible. People can't do it. Even devotees struggle with it. No, they find it difficult. Why? Everyone in the, because it's so contaminated in this day and age. Why is it so difficult? Because until you make it an offering to Guru and Krishna, it's not possible. On your own strength, it's not possible. It's very difficult to practice celibacy. But if you make an offering to Guru and Krishna, then it can be, you can purify your consciousness and you can get spiritual strength. And that spiritual strength allows you to follow these higher principles, which in other ways would be very difficult in this day and age. One time, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, my Guru Maharaj, he was giving a lecture to some people, and he said, you know, we practice no meat eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling. Right? And then everyone said, so what do you do for fun? Well, what do you do? Because what is Kali Yuga? Meat eating, illicit sex, intoxication, and gambling. So then what else is there if you don't do that? So it's very difficult for people to do that. But if you have spiritual strength, then it can become easy. Param jistvah nibhatati, if you have a higher taste in Krishna consciousness. So you have to practice yama and niyama first. Then you do asana. And what is asana for? Why do we do asana? Because devotees can do asana as well. Why do we do asana? I do every day maybe about 15 minutes of exercise for my body. Yoga related postures. Why do we do it? Yes, sir. Very good, very good. Yeah, he said to Dhananjaya Prabhu, one of his disciples, he said, health first, then Krishna consciousness. Because if you're not healthy, you can't practice Krishna consciousness. You know, all the devotees are always sick. Why are you all sick? Because you don't eat properly. Ayurveda, there's only three causes of disease. What are the three causes of disease in Ayurveda? If you have disease, only three reasons. Overeating, mental disturbance, when the mind is not peaceful, it will enter into the body, and uncleanliness. If you're sick, there's only three reasons. Either you're not clean, you've eaten too much, or your mind is disturbed. That is the cause of all disease, according to Ayurveda. So, you have to control your eating. Then you won't be sick. Because if you don't practice a little bit of austerity, then you can't make it back to Krishna. Prabhupada said the first 6 months you become a devotee, you can eat so much you waddle like a duck. Prabhupada's first 6 months, eat as much as you want, because you're weaning yourself off the material energy. So therefore you need some sense gratification. So probably 6 months, do as much as you can. I personally did about 9 months. So technically I didn't follow Prabhupada's instructions. But first 6 months, and then I got to 6 months, I gave one more month, and then 2-3 months. First 9 months, I just ate everything and anything. We used to come back from Harinam on Friday night. Back then, there wasn't so many devotees around back then. Temple was a lot quieter. Now a lot of people come for the final aarti and things, but back then it was just us, just a few brahmacharis. We used to come back after the Harinam Friday night, and we'd take a vow. There's about four of us brahmacharis, Atul, Krishna, myself, Paramananda, Tridish maybe. And we'd say, we will not go to bed until we finish the whole 9 o'clock offering. And we'd sit there, we'd eat everything. You know, I don't know how much is that. Like each plate has how many puris? 8 puris, I think. That's 24. There's only 4 of us, so what was that? 6 each, bro. 6 each, yeah. With all the sabji and all the ladder and the milk. Right? And then we'd say, okay, now we've completed our vow, we can go to take rest. Get up for Mangalati and serve Krishna. At that. We were doing that 3 or 4 times a day. Because Prabhupada said in the beginning, you can take as much, but then eventually you have to control your senses. That's why these days, if you see me upstairs, I still eat a lot. I'm famous for eating a lot. But these days for breakfast, you say, I just eat khichdi. Why is that? Because I can't eat anything else. So many years of eating all the 9 o'clock offering and all the ladder and everything like that. Yeah, and the body just says, yeah, the body gets to a point and just says, okay, that's it. I'm gonna leave now. Yeah, the body says, I can't do it anymore. You know, I'm not a deity. You can offer the deity whatever you want. Deity just, everything's gone. But this body is not spiritual. This body is just material. And you can only do so much to it before it shuts down. So, we have to practice some austerity. There has to be tapasya. Tapasya means you have to voluntarily give up something you do not like to give up. But you have to do that for Krishna. That's the definition of austerity. For the pleasure of Guru, for the pleasure of Krishna, you will voluntarily give up things which may be difficult to give up. And you will accept things which are difficult to accept. Now, what did Prabhupada say the main tapasya is in Kali Yuga? For us, for the devotees. What's the main tapasya? What is it? What was it?
Make a body.
I can't hear.
To wake up early. Make up early.
Oh, to wake up early. Yeah, I mean, that's part of it. That's part of the system. Yeah, spiritual life doesn't work unless you rise early. It doesn't work. Devotees sometimes, a lot of the times, you know, devotees, they'll come to us and they'll say, oh, I'm struggling. And say, so what are you doing? You know, and then when you hear the program, basically it just starts with they're not getting up early enough. You know, that's tapasya. It means you have to go to bed earlier and you get up earlier. Indian people, they tend to be up late. It's just part of the culture. You know, you go to Delhi, like everyone's walking around 12 o'clock at night. I don't know why. People are just walking around. You know, hundreds of thousands of people just walking around like that. I mean, you should be in bed. 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. You know, in Mayapur, you go to Mayapur and you say, 9 o'clock, everything's just quiet. You know, there's 200 plus brahmacharis living there, and but 9 o'clock, it's quiet. Everyone's obviously sleeping or definitely getting very close to that situation. And then everyone rises early and then you go to the temple. So you can't make spiritual advancement unless you go to bed early and you get up early. But the main austerity in Kali Yuga, the main tapo divyam, is preaching. Because that is an austerity. Sometimes we have to push ourselves beyond our limit. What is normally very difficult for us to do, we have to accept that on behalf of Guru and Krishna. Prabhupada expected that. One time, devotees said to Prabhupada, how can we repay our debt to you? And Prabhupada said, actually, it is not possible to repay our debt to Prabhupada. It's not possible. But Prabhupada said, if you want to try, hands up if you'd like to try to pay your debt to Prabhupada. So you give me $10, I'll tell you what Prabhupada said. Dakshina. Okay. Then any questions or comments? So, Prabhupada said, if you want to repay me, it's not possible. He said, if you want to try, then preach vigorously like me. Prabhupada said that. And preach vigorously like me. Then you can, that's an attempt to repay Prabhupada. Because we can't repay him. There's nothing we'll ever do which repays what he did. Nothing that we ever do. We can open 100 temples, right, and we still haven't repaid Prabhupada fully. But, he said, if you want to try, then preach vigorously. And that is our tapasya. For Guru and Krishna, we give up things that we wouldn't normally like to give up, and we accept things we don't normally like to accept for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna. Why? To spread Krishna consciousness. So that is the system. So here, Kardama, he is taking that basic system. Right? He gives up things he doesn't like to give up, and then accepts things he doesn't like to accept, and then he does asana. What is asana for? Just to make the body strong, right? So that you can serve Krishna. That's what yoga asana is for. Devotees can do it. You can do it. I do 15 minutes a day just to keep my back solid. Otherwise, I have back problems. Right? And I notice when I'm strict on my exercise sadhana, I do it every day, I don't get so many problems. As soon as I become slack, then immediately problems come. Then it's harder for me to chant. You know, as I'm sitting there chanting, you know, and then my body, my back starts hurting, and it just becomes a distraction. So asana and then pranayama. Pranayama means breathing nicely. Like that. You'll breathe nicely if you have good health. If you're healthy, you'll have good breathing system. You have to keep your body strong and exercised. Exercise is necessary. A lot of people get sick these days. Why? Because they're just too passive. Even young devotees, I've seen. Devotees around about 30 years old, they start having heart problems and all sorts of things. And that's only because they're not exercising. The body needs exercise. We're not meant to be sedentary. In the Vedic time, there was no cars. You had to walk. You know, sometimes devotees have to get something from 7-Eleven. So they jump in the car and they drive down. How far is 7-Eleven? Like 500 meters probably. Like that. Devotee, you know. Or, you know, the Maharajas come. You know, like down at our farm, we have retreats. You know, and Sankarshan Prabhu was staying in the top house. It's about 400 meters from the top house to the temple. And devotees are like, oh, Maharaj, we'll drive you there. Because he might die if he walks all the way to the top house. You know, so, right? And he said, and Kananda Kana Maharaj said one day, he said, I'll walk. Well, yeah, they need exercise. You know, if we put them in cars all the time, how are they going to exercise? Then their bodies will get sick. Now, you need to exercise. Prabhupada said, dance in kirtan. Dance in the kirtan. Don't be sedentary. Dance. And be active as devotees. So you have to do active exercise. Sometimes you have to do some exercise, swimming or whatever it is. You work it out with your spiritual authorities, but you should do something. Every week I play tennis. Every week, because I like to compete. I like to destroy the enemy. Good feeling. Even though I lose every week. But I have that spirit. But I do that for exercise because it's good. It's good. It's healthy exercise. One of my friends lives in Mwamba, he goes surfing 3 times a week, and his wife complained to the one of the gurus. They had darshan, and the wife said he goes surfing 3 times a week. And the guru said, "So, what is the problem? At least he's exercising. He's in nature, and he is exercising his body." Like that. Okay, if you're brahmachari, brahmacharini, then you have to relax a little bit. Yeah, there's some restriction. But as a grihastha, we need to do exercise. That's the point. So pranayama automatically will come just by exercising. Then you'll breathe properly. Like that. Oh, you can see, you can actually do pranayama. I find it very boring. Pranayama. I can do it once or twice, that's it. I don't get a lot out of pranayama. But it's good. It means just breathe, that's the point. Right, and then what's next? What's the fifth stage? After pranayama? Yama, niyama, asana, pranayama then? Pratyahara. Now what does pratyahara mean? Pratyahara means to withdraw the senses. You can only do that when you're spiritually strong. Right? That's what sannyas means. Sannyas means withdrawing the senses. I will not use the senses anymore for sense gratification. That's why they carry the danda. Body, mind, words in Krishna's service. danda. Heavy. That's why we bow down to the sannyasi. Prabhupada said, why do we bow down to the sannyasi? Why do you bow down? Whenever you see the sannyasi, you bow. Actually, it's an offense if you don't bow down when you see a sannyasi. It's an offense. It's an aparad. When he sees you for the first time and when you see him for the first time. So if you see him, you have to bow down. And then when he sees you, you have to bow down again. Because otherwise he'll think, oh, you didn't bow down. Why do you bow to the sannyasi, Prabhupada said? Because he conquered sex desire. Body, mind, word, in Krishna's service. It's a heavy vow. I tried to take sannyas. When my one marriage broke up, and then Krishna opened a door for me, so I thought, oh, maybe I can do it. I like to preach. So I thought, what better opportunity? You get a danda, everyone listens to you. So that's what I thought. I thought, great. I can be a sannyasi and go and preach, everyone will just listen. You don't have to worry. Just say Maharaj on the notice board, everyone comes. So great opportunity to preach. But when I tried to do it, and I was getting encouragement from I even spoke to the sannyas minister. They said, you can try. But after trying, I realized, not possible. Krishna started bringing things up in my consciousness, in my heart. And I realized I can't be a pretender. I can't sit there in front of the devotees and say I'm one thing when I'm something else. It requires purity. That's why when they had the danda, when someone actually has that adhikar to hold the danda, he's controlled sex desire, body, mind, and words. Then we bow to that person. You bow down humbly and you say, Maharaj, I respect you. Please instruct me. Because you must have some realizations. If you have conquered that, then you must have realizations. So that is called pratyahara. That means sense control, withdrawing the senses. So all of us have to do that. That's part of the yoga process. We have to bring our senses under control. That is called Swami or Goswami. First verse of the Upadeshamrita, the nectar of instruction. What does it say? Vacha vegam, manasakrota vegam, jiva vegam, udara pasta vegam, tan vegam, vishahe tadira. What is the last line? Sabam, abhimam, prithivim, sashishyat. What does that mean? You have to become a Goswami. You have to learn to control the senses. Then you can make shishya. You can't give instruction to other. You can't have shishya, which means giving shiksha or giving instruction to others, unless you become sense-controlled yourself. You have to have control of the urges. That is pratyahara. It's actually quite an advanced level. So he did all of this. Kardama was doing all of this. And then what are the last three stages? Dharana, Jhana, and Samadhi. Right? These are higher levels of absorption in Krishna. So he became fully absorbed. So he was given an instruction. He was given an instruction by the guru. What was his instruction? Populate the universe. So he didn't just say, okay, now I get married and I'll start populating. No, he said, now I will do 10,000 years of tapasya to purify myself so that whatever I bring at the time of conception, whatever souls are brought, they will be qualified to do seva. So it's a great austerity. So we should see everything that is given to us by Guru and Krishna in our life, it is seva. And we should do it to the best of our ability. If you're going to mop the floor here, then do it properly. Sometimes I see Prabhupada's Vyasasan. People, they clean it. I don't know whose service it is, but you see around the feet sometimes, it's like big layers of dust. It means people are not being conscientious. If you're cleaning the temple room, you sweep. But if you go up on the ledges there, there's those little ledges where we sometimes hang like the Guru Vandana and that. Korma Prabhu used to walk in here with a white glove and you just go like that and see if there was any dust there. Because you haven't actually cleaned the temple until all the dust is gone. And you see Lord Chaitanya when he's cleaning the Gundicha temple. They clean everything thoroughly. So that is Krishna consciousness. It means you do everything properly on behalf of Guru and Krishna. So we'll stop here and we'll see if there's any questions and comments on what we discussed. Because in the first verse of the Bhagavatam, it says Krishna is Swarat. Swarat means independent. Krishna can do whatever he wants. Now, he gives all of us minute independence. It means you can do a little bit of what you want. Krishna gives you free will. Just like, that's my watch, right? So I can throw it at you, right? Or I can throw it over there at Arjuna Sakha. That's my choice. So right now I'm thinking, who am I going to throw it at? Right? Or I might throw it at Keshav. Or Manmohan, like that. So it's my choice. I have free will. Right? So Krishna gives you a little bit of free will to make decisions. So how do we become envious of Krishna? At some point in time, maybe we're in the spiritual world, and maybe one of the devotees said, put a garland on Krishna, and then you went to put the garland on Krishna. But then something happened in your consciousness, and then maybe you thought, I should be wearing the garland. And Krishna looked at you, and Krishna thought, that's a strange thought. But just he saw that in your consciousness. And because you had that tiny bit of envy, then he said, when you went to the material world, you became covered by the material energy. And now we're here and we're in big trouble. Now it's time to change everything. And how do you change everything? You have to do tapo divyam. You have to do austerity to change it. Because the enjoying spirit, it goes very deep and it comes up again and again. And I know myself, the years that I've been practicing Krishna consciousness, I think that I've made a certain amount of progress, and suddenly all the desires come up again. And I realize they're all still there. They don't affect me as much because I've progressed in my spiritual life, but the desires are still there. The desire to enjoy separately from Krishna is still there. And it comes up again and again and again. And you have to do powerful austerity. It means you have to give your body, mind, and words for the service of Guru and Krishna, and that cleanses that. Does that answer your question? Yeah, I mean, Krishna can be envious. He will show envy in his pastimes in the material world, in the Naimittika Lila. There's two types. We were discussing this last night in our Bhaktivinoda. There's two types of pastimes that Krishna has. Nitya Lila. In the spiritual world, Nitya Lila means the pastimes that go on and on and on. There's no envy there. But in the material world, in the Naimittika Lila, Krishna may show envy when he kills some demons. So it mentions, I think the example which is given is Pondraka. I think. Does anyone remember? It says that Krishna was envious of Pondraka. So he felt, Pondraka was the demon who said he was Vishnu, and he wrote a letter to Krishna. He was down in South India, Krishna's in North India, and he wrote a letter and he said, listen, there's only one Vishnu, and it's me. So maybe you should come down here and we'll talk about it. And Krishna wrote a letter back and he said, there's a black snake called Krishna who's going to come down there and go down your hole and eat you. Right? So it's like, that's an envious like way of speaking to someone. But Krishna was like that because he was so, he wanted to smash him so heavily that he just took on a really angry kind of disposition towards him. It's described as almost like envy. He said, I'm a black snake and I'm going to come down there and I'm going to get into your hole and get you. So sometimes Krishna will only show that kind of mood in the Naimittika Lila, in the earthly pastimes. In the spiritual world, he won't. He won't say things like that. And when he says things, he's just like having fun anyway. But Krishna's not like that. Krishna's not like that kind of person. And he will speak sometimes like that just to enjoy it. Like sometimes I'll say to one of the brahmacharis, I'll get you and I'll grab you and I'll, like that. We don't really mean it, but we're just playing with them. So Krishna's in that spirit. It says, it just describes that he was envious at that time. Is that okay? Okay. Any other question?
Krishna consciousness is about respecting your maturity. So
Something adverse about one of our authorities? Something which disappoints you because you hear something? Yeah, yeah, it happens sometimes. I was in Mayapur a few years ago, and one of my authorities, like someone who I greatly respect and look up to in spiritual life, he was having some difficulty. Very senior devotee in ISKCON. I won't say who it was because you know, many of you may not know, but he was a you know, very exalted person in ISKCON, still very exalted. And he had some, and when I heard that, it was very disturbing. You know, I was in Mayapur, I was in, you know, I was quite blissful being in Mayapur. But then when I heard that this devotee, who I have so much respect for, was going through difficulty, it really affected me. Because then I thought, well, I don't think this very often, because I'm a very positive person. But I really thought, you know, well, it's difficult now. Because, you know, if he can't do it, he's obviously very advanced, then how am I going to, like that. So I began, and it took me a few days to really reconcile in my heart. So when we hear that our authority is having difficulty, we hear something about it, you just have to understand that they are conditioned souls. You know, Prabhupada was a Nitya Siddha. Prabhupada came from the spiritual world. He was sent by Krishna. It's mentioned in Chaitanya Mangala and places. That Prabhupada appeared from the spiritual world. But practically every other devotee in ISKCON, practically, right, is a sadhaka. It means they're in the material world and they're advancing back to the spiritual world. So practically there's no one in ISKCON, practically, I'm not saying there aren't any pure devotees, right, but practically everyone is still advancing. Some of them are very, very high now. But even on the highest level, you read in the Bhagavatam that Bharat Maharaj, on a very high level, had some difficulty. So it is possible for any sadhaka, anyone who is a practitioner, to have difficulty in devotional service. So if that happens, we should be understanding. And this particular devotee who had the difficulty, who I was, you know, great respect, he had the difficulty, he reconciled himself, and now he's just continuing his devotional service. So he's showing us the example that, okay, we have difficulties, but we continue in our bhakti, in our devotional service. And I remember I was in Mayapur and Radhanath Swami was giving a lecture. And Radhanath Swami says, everyone falls down. Everyone. Whether you fall down in your mind or grossly, or everyone, every one of us sitting here falls down from the platform of pure Krishna consciousness. There's no one here who's practicing pure Krishna consciousness. We either fall down in the mind to the material energy or to the with the body or like that. Everyone has difficulty. There's no one who's not having difficulty. Except for, you know, Prabhupada or someone who is transcended. So we should just be, I mean, it's difficult when those things happen. When we see our authority struggles, it's difficult. But Prabhupada said at the end of the day, you have to fly your own plane. There's only one person you can get back to Godhead, and that's you. You can't get anyone else back to Godhead. You can help others, but only you're responsible for it. So, does that help? Any other question? I just gave the whole class about that. I just said preaching. Preaching. We already said that. You can preach. Do you know anything about Krishna? Not much, but you know something, right? Right? So you see the picture, you see Prabhupada sitting up there in that picture. So sometimes you see there's a video of that picture. So Prabhupada's sitting there and there's a little girl, her name is Saraswati. She's only 3 years old. And she comes up to Prabhupada and she tries to get the flower of Prabhupada and Prabhupada's holding the flower. She's pulling the flower and Prabhupada holds onto it. And Prabhupada's playing with her. She's trying to pull the flower and Prabhupada's holding it like that. And she's having fun. And then someone came. I think it was when they're not there, but they were in India. But someone came. She's only 3 years old. Prabhupada was there and someone came into the room. And she said to the person, do you know who Krishna is? Only like a three-year-old girl, like a little girl. Do you know who Krishna is? And then the person said, oh, who is Krishna? He said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? And Prabhupada said, just see. He said, anyone can. So even if that's all you know, Yeah, you just stand outside the temple, you know everyone walks in. You know, you say, do you know who Krishna is? Supreme Person. And then you give them a book, give them a Krishna book. Say, we're doing a special deal on this book. Because, you know, Ram Navami is on Fridays. You can stay in the courtyard all day. People come and go. You can just give them Prabhupada's books. You don't have to preach. Just say, there's a very nice book about Krishna, about Ramachandra. Please take it. Anyone can do that. Prabhupada said that everyone in ISKCON should learn the art of book distribution. Prabhupada said that everyone should know how to distribute books. Everyone. Prabhupada said that is the family business. So, Ram Navami on Friday, you can do it. What is the problem? Yeah, devotees are a little bit soft these days. Back in Prabhupada's time, you know, the train was going through Delhi. Prabhupada had 40 disciples on the train with him. Went through Delhi, and when it stopped in Delhi, the train stopped. Prabhupada looked at four devotees. He said, get off the train and start a temple. So everyone picked up their bags, went on the platform, and then the train left, and Prabhupada just went. Seriously. They didn't even have money or anything. Prabhupada just said, get off the train and start a temple. Seriously, that's what he did. Yeah, my Guru Maharaj, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he tells stories about Prabhupada. It was like, the way he was back in those days, just to get the movement going, he just pushed everyone. Yeah, devotees these days were all soft. Yeah, we get upset if we don't have avocado on our toast, you know, it's like, how can I do my service? I didn't get any puris. It's like, devotees are so soft these days, really speaking. You know, so you have to do some tapasya, some austerity. Then you'll make some advancement in Krishna consciousness. Go out and do some preaching. Go out and learn how to distribute books. Devotees are very soft these days. Oh,